Don't do that. Don't do that.
Put your nipple away. So I had a dream last night. We were at Sales Gravy and you were wearing this leather bustier. Then your nipple was showing. It was kind of like, Gina, your nipple is showing. And you were like, oh, and you put it away and you're like, God, I hope that wasn't hanging out in that last sales presentation.
That reminds me of a very funny story where my nipple almost was hanging out in a sales presentation.
So actually that wasn't just a dream.
Hey, Warners, welcome to another episode of Women Your Mother Warns You About. I'm Gina Tremarco, Master Sales Trainer and Master Improv Trainer at Sales Gravy, who, by the way, now is the sponsor of this show. Woohoo!
Dun, dun, dun. And I'm Rachel Pitts, Mommy Wifey Mortgage Loan Officer at US Mortgage and creator of Your Ultra Fit Lifestyle and the podcast that makes business sexy again.
Very sexy and very sassy. And we do need to give you a warning and a spoiler alert that Rachel and I today are very in sync. And you will hear that throughout the episode as we complete each other's sentences or say the exact same thing at the exact same time. We're just all jacked up on coffee today. I think it was the French press coffee that we had this morning together, which was the first time we saw each other in a long time.
Do that more often.
My God, what will happen? This is an awesome episode with Jeannie Ringkob, and I'm going to do just a quick bio on her. Jeannie, let's see here. Here's her bio. While running successful businesses in construction and agriculture for over 29 years, Jeannie experienced all the ups and downs that go with building a business. She actually experienced some that aren't always part of the story as well. When she was in her early 20s, family tragedy struck, and this actually did make my jaw drop, by the way. I don't know about you. I got goosebumps when she told us what that tragedy was. I was trying not to cry. And it was all hands on deck to keep her family's asphalt business afloat. Overnight, she went from marketing and sales rep to marketing and sales, plus traffic control, plus screen operator, plus estimator, plus supply negotiator, and a few more. This wasn't the only business setback she would experience, but it was the fight back to the highs and the wins that really put her where she is today. She's now committed to helping other busy business owners build stronger businesses to help them survive the roller coaster ride that is business ownership. I didn't know this about her background, but when I read this story about her being in construction, I thought it was going to be a really interesting story as a woman in a very male-dominated business, number one. Number two, she came to me through LinkedIn. She had been in one of my classes at Sales Gravy, and she's like, I want to be on your show. And I was like, and I did. I kind of brushed her off. Not brushed off. I was like, talk to a producer. And then
that wasn't a brush off. That was a delegation.
It was a delegation. I'm like, talk, because we get so many people come to us wanting to be on the show. And I think we're going to see more of that now as part of the Sales Gravy family. But I was like, you know, talk to Doug. And good for her. She did. She followed through. She pushed through. And like within 2 weeks, she was scheduled to be on the show. I'm like, good for her. I love that. What did you think of her?
I thought she was very powerful and well-spoken. She's got an amazing story and an inspiring story, especially for anyone who doubts that a woman can be very successful in a man's world, if you will, especially an industry that's dominated by men. She's got a lot of good stuff to say about that, and you will love her.
You totally love her, and you will love her mother. I'm just going to say that. Think Laura Ingalls. That's all I'm saying. All right, Warners, sit back and enjoy this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About with Jeannie Ringkob. Let us jump into this episode of the Women Your Mother Warned You About with our guest, Jeannie Ringkob. Jeannie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I've already had a good time talking to you guys.
It's the behind the scenes before the show starts footage.
Well, I think all the good stuff already happened.
Exactly. That's why we record, and we don't know what's going to happen and what our producer is going to pick out. I'm hoping they're not going to use that stuff about Rachel dreaming about my nipple popping out of the sales presentation. What? I just put it out there. Gosh, this show is rogue.
Oh, the sales secrets that happen before we hit record.
Exactly. Behind the scenes. We got to sell that footage, Rachel, the behind the scenes footage. So, Jeannie, you've got an interesting background that I found interesting and different because, you know, we are women your mother warned you about and trying to make it in business and in life. And in many women's situations, they are, in male dominated situations. And we're not complaining about that at all. But you do come from an interesting kind of male dominated type of, I think, industry. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And kind of give us a little bit of your backstory.
Yeah. So I actually come from two really foundational economic industries that are very male dominated. So I grew up in construction. So my family had a construction business. I was very lucky. I got to go do sales and be on projects with my dad from like age 7 on and actually travel around and sit there and we would talk about like, this is what's going to happen in this, you know, phone conversation, or this is what's going to happen when we go and meet with this guy. This is who he is. This is, you know, why we're talking to him. So I was getting like, I had no idea what my dad was telling me or why, but later on in hindsight, he was teaching me about sales. So I got to grow. And so I was doing that, or I was climbing up rock piles or whatever. So we had an asphalt business that we were recycling asphalt in New Mexico and Colorado, Utah, before people even knew what recycling was, like before the green arrow circle was big, like we were doing this back in the 70s. So, he was really innovative. He actually figured out how to build asphalt plants that we could take apart and move to rural locations to service those people that, you know, they had roads. These were county agencies and they had roads they needed to take care of. So I grew up in that industry. I got to do everything from sales, marketing, accounting, cleaning floors, running, the screed on the back of the laydown machine, all that good stuff. But then also more recently, my husband and I had an agricultural commodities trading business. So he grew up in the ag world. So he twisted my arm and got me to go work in the ag business with him for about 10 years before we sold that business. Once again, really male dominated. Both of them, actually, ironically, I talk about this a lot lately with clients, is they're going to have a huge segment of people in both those industries that are going to be retiring soon. So they're facing some similar challenges.
Ooh.
So my question to you in that is, even though you grew up in those and spent so much time in these male-dominated industries, would you consider yourself a tomboy?
No, I wouldn't. I played in the dirt and did all the stuff, right? But I think there's something to, let's be honest, like being a woman in that world, a big chunk of your advantage is being a woman. And I think owning that and being okay with that, like I'm like, wear your makeup, dress like a woman, be a woman, and be in that industry. And I think some of my favorite mentors in those industries were those women that weren't afraid to be a woman in that industry and not just, you know, be trying to convert to something else. Like those are the women that I respect. Those are the ones that I admire. And there's a certain power in that. And I think that we have plenty of obstacles and hurdles that we're trying to overcome. And I think we should be able to own that advantage.
That's really interesting. I'm curious, like, what would your advice be to a woman that, okay, I'm going to be a woman in that very male business and I'm going to be the woman, I'm going to wear the makeup, I'm going to dress like a woman, I'm going to act like a woman, and I'm going to be treated very differently because of it. And yeah, I'm going to own all that, but what's your advice for now? How do I deal with it? Because it's going to take a while for them to treat me beyond being the pretty woman.
Yeah. No, for sure. But I think it's well worth it. I think that once we get comfortable in that, we're willing to do it and we're willing to put in the years and prove ourselves, we probably earn more respect than the guy next to us. So I think that it may be a little bit harder to gain that traction early on. But so 2 points to that. The first one is a lot of that's in our own heads. So I think that we assume that a lot of that is there. And we probably put a lot of that pressure on ourselves versus what's really there. And so it's important for women to take a step back and be objective. I can count several situations in my past where I was probably, especially when I was younger, I was a little more insecure and I assumed that they were looking at me a certain way when really they weren't. And if I could get out of that mindset and focus on what I knew, the value I could bring, then that kind of went away for me too. And it was twofold. So the second point is then you really, if you know your stuff, if you perform well, then you're actually going to get, I think after you get that traction, you're actually going to get more respect for being able to compose yourself down the road.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, what do you think, how men saw you in that role? Like, what do you think was the thing where they're like, oh yeah, she's got her shit together. I'm not messing with her.
So I think it's because I was willing to get dirty and get in the projects. I think part of it, I had a unique advantage because I grew up on that construction side. So I actually left my family's business and I went to work for Koch Industries and some other companies that were suppliers as well as competitors and different things like that, because I felt like I needed to go out on my own and I needed to make my own mark. And it was part of that validation process, right? I needed to validate myself in the market, in the industry, as being my own person. So I think in starting that, I've been in situations where, you know, you have those guys that were just really, really supportive. And then you have those ones that, you know, and they're sneering behind you or they're really putting you. So here's a quick story for you. I started in a new company and I was the rep for a brand new product. So we're bringing a brand new product to market. I was developing the whole market for it. And they wanted me to go and meet with one of their clients and doing like an annual holiday party that they helped them throw for one of their applicators. So we went over there and I drove over there with them instead of taking my own car. Like, not a good idea. This is a 7-hour drive. And I listened to comic shows. Like, how can I really swear on here? Can I say really vulgar stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I'm sitting there and they're like, I'm having to listen to that. Like, I wouldn't have minded much, but like they were using the cunt word and stuff like that for 7 hours. And I could have thrown a fit. I could have, but like their intentions weren't necessarily bad, but yet it was really awful. And it was up to me to be like, oh God, like, but you know, it was what I got to pass my judgment on them. Like, it showed me who they were. Mm-hmm. And I was never that. Like, I have to hold myself to my own standard. And guess what? They had to, that was their standard. My standard was something else. And it really, you know, I think it showed later on with what I've been able to accomplish and where those individuals are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a world that they just can't live in anymore. Like, you just can't.
Not for a long time. I mean,
no, the tables have turned and it just doesn't work anymore.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's an interesting like acceptance of you that they speak freely like that though.
Yeah, like, no, I think
when you know they're comfortable enough to actually be themselves, enough to be that raw and grody, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah. And I think it takes a while. And you have some that never, you know, you have all different personality types, but in those two industries, you run across a lot of that, right? Mm-hmm. And to a certain extent, we have to appreciate people for what they are, right? Just that's, we don't know where they grew up. We don't know what their experiences are. Like, I mean, I grew up, my family grew up, I mean, my mom's family used to have the largest sheep ranch in Colorado, but I mean, you wouldn't talk about living rural. There was no running water. Like, that sounds really glamorous, but there was no running water for most of this time. She went to school until high school in a one room schoolhouse. Like, one row was kindergarten, it was probably kindergarten through fifth, you know? So like I'm one generation off from that. So I can really appreciate like coming that far.
It's like a Little House on the Prairie.
It was totally Little House on the Prairie.
You know, that is very, for anyone that's listening, that's a parent right now, just keep in mind with what we're currently dealing with when this podcast is being recorded in February of 2021, everybody's up in arms about how horrible the schooling is. And I'm homeschooling my kid because I don't want to deal with it. But like, there was worse, like one room full of everybody.
Yeah.
Hoping for the best.
Absolutely. Like literally she did ride a horse to school sometimes.
That is so cool. And go a horse, riding a horse uphill both ways, I'm sure, right? In Colorado.
Yeah. Well, and then also speaking of my mom though, and like, I think part of my attraction to your show, and I know sometimes you guys ask the question of, are you a woman that your mom warned you about? And I would have to say, you got to know my mom. Like that's how she grew up. She's made of tough stuff. And I had a dad that really, he took me out in this world of all these men's industries. And he taught me how to like walk amongst them and to be part of them. In my dad's eye, I never thought of myself as a woman in this world because he didn't think of me as a woman in this world. He thought of me as a person that could change this like industry, that could master it, that could do great things in it. And so that really helped. But on the other side, my mom was, so a little bit of context for my mom, because I want to brag on her and she's so amazing. Like she was definitely one of those women. So my dad died unexpectedly in a plane crash, January 2nd, 2000. We didn't even know for 5 days, couldn't find him. Mm-hmm. We had just taken on a venture, a multi-million dollar venture down in El Paso, Texas. We were building a permanent asphalt plant. So, and if you work down there, you know, part of your suppliers and stuff like that, like the next week they might be in white collar prison. I mean, that market was tough. Wow. So my mom now she was a dental hygienist by trade, but my mom now has ran that construction business longer by herself than she did with my dad.
I just got goosebumps.
I mean, she's amazing. So when people like, you know, I mean, for me, like my mom has made a tough stuff. Like, she is gritty. My dad respected everything about her. He always told me we wouldn't be, you know, I may be the face of the business, but we wouldn't be here without your mom. Mm. And he would say that over and over and over again. And as a kid, I'm like, yeah. But years later, like looking back on everything she's done now, like, oh yeah, like she really was.
What an amazing story.
I'm trying to picture her. I want to see a picture of her.
I know. So I think like we need her on the show next. Like
I picture her as like, because we said Little House on the Prairie, I'm like picturing her in the long dress, but like with a rifle over her shoulder. And
yeah. You know, as Jeannie was describing that, I was having that same vision of, you know, you think about, you're one generation removed, but if you think about like those days on the prairie, right? Those were, if we go back quite some time, not in this era, but those are hard days, farming and rural. And those are hard days. And those women were made of tough stuff because they didn't have a choice. And sometimes the men were away and they're running the farm and they're running the prairie and they're doing the things. And they're dealing with obstacles. And something that Jeb talks about a lot of Sales Gravy is obstacle immunity. The more you are able to build up that immunity to like those obstacles, the more resilient you get. And the more resilient you get, the easier it gets to ask for things in business. And she had a little bit in that in her background, I think, from just growing up that way and then being in that man's world and then being able to just transition and take over.
Yeah. I mean, it was a tough 10 years after that. Like it was gritty and there were times, I mean, the stories that come from that, the things she did, I mean, there were definitely, you know, and in hindsight, I think I know even more now, I was involved in a lot of that and part of it, but then for parts of it, I went away because I was, you know, trying to kind of carve out my own path. But now we sit and we tell stories to each other and she confesses things and things like that. Like, I mean, there were times like, I don't know how she did it. Like, I mean, it was, you know, having them, I mean, because those are heavy, you need heavy assets in those businesses. You're buying $1 million pieces of equipment and stuff like that. And if you don't get your agency contracts, you all of a sudden don't have any customers the next day, you know, regardless of how good your sales team is. So, I mean, I mean, I just think about what she went through and how, you know, like most of the time nobody realized how much she was juggling behind the scenes. Like she's moving money to make stuff work on off season. Wow. And stuff like that. And, you know, also she has, so she's in this world of construction, roads and street construction, and she has some of the lowest turnover rates as well. So, I mean, she has employees that are so incredibly loyal. And I know her and I were just talking about that because I'm getting ready to start a new podcast as well, talking with business owners about their stories and the things they've had to overcome. And so, of course, I was prepping her. I'm like, you know, I'm going to interview you, right? Like, you know, you got to get on the show and do this. And, you know, I'm going to ask you these questions. And, you know, her talking about, you know, that's one of the things I really admire, like the way that she's built a really loyal team around her, you know, on all different levels, you know, from the guys that run the crew, to the guys that are actually out there doing the marketing, all of them, like they all respect her without a doubt.
Wow.
Like it's really amazing.
Hey, Warners, if you haven't had a chance to give us a rating and review, pop over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, and you can leave us a rating or review there. Of course, we like 5 stars, but we're not going to beg for that. I mean, a review is probably cooler than a rating anyway, right? So pop over to do that. And now back to the show.
Would you say that because she's a woman and based on your experience with so many men in this industry, do you think that because she's a woman, that's why she was able to maintain this calm front, even though there was a lot going on behind the scenes, like you mentioned, that like women kind of have to do that. Like moms, we have to just be, everything's fine, kids, even if the shit is hitting the fan behind the fucking scenes, like you don't want to freak out. And same with employees. They're like kids, like,
yeah.
You don't want to freak everybody out that I just sunk $1 million over here and I only have, you know, 100,000 over here.
Yeah. And payroll's coming up. Yeah. I think so. I mean, I would definitely say so. So what, as women, they've got the stigma of us being emotional and all those kinds of things. But I mean, every woman I know is able to hold up a front, like, you know, an amazing card player. I mean, especially if they're running a business or they're a leader in organizations and stuff like that, and they've been in that hot water. And if you think about just being a mom, I mean, all the time, like, I feel like we are ducks on a pond, right? There's what you see, and then there's what's really going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's segue into like what you're doing now with Story Built. So how did you go from what you were doing to what you're doing now? Tell us a little bit more about that.
So I always think of my path, like there's no straight lines, right? Nobody really has this. We all have these dreams that we're going to have a straight line to that destiny that's ours when we're young and stupid and in college or whatever. And it's never that. No. So I feel like people talk about there's being an S journey or something like that. I feel like mine was like a W, like it was these high peaks and then these crashes.
Yeah.
So, because I think I was definitely there when I was working in my family's business. And I really thought, like, you know, someday I'm going to run this business. And my dad was really honest with me that, like, you know, I had 2 brothers. But he was really honest about, like, I think you could do this. And I think you could do it better than most. Like, if you want this, you got it. You know, and then, you know, tragedy kind of happened and things got really hard. And I think that was one of you think about milestones in your life that are really defining. So there was that. And then I was still in college. And so, you know, over Christmas break, I didn't know if I was going to go back to college. I didn't know what I was going to do. From then on, I, like everything I was involved with in college, I stopped. I was working every weekend. I went down to New Mexico and helped run the cruise. And I just kind of got finished with college, and it was all about just surviving. So a few years in, once we were kind of more okay, I just had to go out on my own. So that's what I did. I went and worked for some other companies because I felt like I needed to do that. But for all these years, my mom has always asked. So I think we probably spend about 15 years with my mom trying to kind of, you know, talk around that subject. Are you going to buy it? Are you going to buy it? Are you going to do it? And I think everybody in the industry wondered that same thing and thought about it too. And it's, I actually recently was just asked to speak at an industry event about succession, you know, and what happens when you decide not to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, during that time I got married, I had kids. My husband was building a, you know, really incredible business in ag. And so I took the leap, and it was probably one of the hardest things I ever did was to sit down and tell my mom, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to buy this business. And I think it was really heartbreaking for me in a lot of ways. Like I felt like I was letting go of a child or something like that, because I felt like I owed it to my dad. You know, he wasn't there to tell me what he thought I should do. I had to just decide. And we, you know, my husband was in this other thing. I knew I could help him. And so we went all in. Well, so we were buying it out from his partner that we'd helped build it with. And then, you know, within a year of me, less than a year of me telling my mom this and walking away from that, he changed his mind. And we'd been buying this business and building it with him for 16 years. And he changed his mind. We ended up in a 2-year lawsuit. It was heartbreaking. I mean, this man spoke at our wedding. It was devastating. So I felt like once again, it was almost like watching my husband lose, you know, like this entity that he had built. So once again, I'm furious because I've walked away from something else. And my mom's now starting to, you know, figure out her other plans. And I felt like I couldn't go back. Like she needed to have that freedom, because it was incredible to watch the freedom that gave her for me to finally close the door. It kind of allowed her to run the business in a way that was going to let it, you know, be able to go on without me. So, so then we moved, we had to shift gears. You know, and you just do it, you just happen. But that was another really hard point, not as bad as losing my dad, but it was really devastating. But it also, you know, it's the old adage, like doors close, another one opens. So what I realized is during that time, and we talked about this earlier on, to try to just not get us in trouble with competing, I actually spent several years helping moms who were building businesses. And we talked about, like, I had friends that were moms that were like literally rocket scientists and all these different things. And I was helping them build businesses or start careers because they were trying, you know, their kids were old enough and they were like, I need something. And so I got really excited about just, you know, what I could do as an outsider to help somebody with their business. And then I had people kind of from the industry starting to talk to me again and stuff like that. So I dived in with both feet. So now I'm helping people in construction and ag build stronger businesses. Like I watched all the struggles my dad and mom went through. I watched and lived all the struggles and heartache my mom went through. And being an outsider and having worked for lots of different companies and had all these wonderful experiences, I can be that unbiased outside opinion that can look at data and can look at the real hard facts of their business and say, because it's so emotional when you're in it. Like you feel like every problem is a crisis and everything's devastating. And that was part of the problems that we had, especially after, you know, any kind of issue or tragedy. So now that's what I do, is I help people figure out what do you really need to work on in your business and how can we create a solution based on the data, based on what really needs to happen so you can grow your business.
And you're focusing on construction and ag?
Yep.
How are you?
I have some other clients, but those are kind of those sweet spots. And they're these two industries that they're really essential to our economy, but they're heavy, you know, infrastructure, heavy regulation, they're seasonal. They have a lot of equipment issues and costs and expenses, similar labor forces, similar cultures. So actually, like I talk about, I worked for Koch Industries in the asphalt industry. They were a supplier to my company, my family's company. Then I went and worked for them. And then in our ag business, they were a supplier and a customer to us. So there's actually a lot of crossover there.
Interesting. How do you get your clients?
So for me, I like to be really active on, I mean, this is a strange time that we're all sitting here. I love to get out and about because I grew up doing that. I grew up being out on the road, forming relationships. Now we're not able to do that as much. So it's a lot more on the phone and it's a lot more, I really love LinkedIn. Like I've been able to really form relationships on there if you're really genuine, but also it's picking up the phone and just calling, you know. And I think, I mean, like it sells gravy and I love your guys' courses and I love sales. So I like to just continue to take courses and everything there. And that's how I came across you, Gina. But, you know, you have to do all your research and you have to know who is your customer. Like, and when I think about when I help people with marketing and brand strategy And that's what we're talking about. It's really important. You got to start with who is that customer? And it's no different in my business. I got to know who they are. I got to know what problem they need solved. And it's not about me and the service I provide. It's about the problem they have and if I have a solution. But I got to start with them and their problem. So it's just like a sales pipeline. I got to do the research on the front side. And then I got to get in front of the right people that I can help.
Yes, so well spoken.
Love it.
You've taken some good classes.
I have. I can recommend a few.
That is awesome.
So what do you find, that is your, you mentioned the sweet spot in those two particular industries, but what's your favorite mess to just get elbow deep in when you find it with a company?
I really like the early stages of interviewing all the stakeholders. So for me, I tend to really love family businesses or businesses that have certain element of family that are still involved to a certain degree, because I think there's a lot of really unique dynamics that I've had experience with. I had brothers that were still involved after that. It caused a lot of strain. There were relationships that blew up. So I've kind of experienced that and I know what the stakes are. So I have a soft spot in my heart for them, but I like the early stages of actually getting into evaluating and helping somebody who comes in there and they're biased. Like they're just biased about their company. It's like your kid, when somebody tells you they did something wrong, right? Your first instinct is to be like, no. So we're really biased about our businesses. So I love getting my hands dirty in terms of just really getting into helping them overlay the actual facts of their business and the data onto their passion for it and helping them say and get really, really clear where all of a sudden then you can reflect that back to them and they say, you're right. I do need to fix this first in my business, not something else. Like there may be a fire over here, but there's something down here in the base. So like, sales, if you don't have sales, your company can't breathe, you know? But then some people are like, I need more sales. But if you really look at it and you have lots of sales, you're just not profitable, and helping them see where it really is, because they're under a mountain of problems. Yeah. But what's that one problem? And then there's the whole process of implementing the solution after that, or helping them find somebody to implement the solution if I'm not the one. But going through that early process and helping them get clarity, because just knowing what the small problem is, all of a sudden, like, it's doable. Like, I'm not going to drown. I can do this. And that feels really good.
Yeah, a lot of times, and we talked about this, as you recall, about people getting coaches and getting someone like you, Jeannie, to help. Because when you're in the business with a million problems or at least 99 problems, you can't see the forest for the trees. No. Like sometimes the solution is so obvious when you come in, Jeannie, to like go, well, this is your problem. And all the while, just the day to day of managing humans, you just can't see it.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And then they're just drowning and they're paralyzed. And it's a sad thing to see from the outside, especially when you've experienced it. Like I've been there, like I've stood in those shoes over and over multiple times in multiple businesses and just been like, there's so many things to fix. I'm never going to get ahead. And then you spend like time is such a valuable resource. And if you're going to try to fix anything in your business, you're going to invest your time. You're probably investing money. You're probably investing your people and stuff like that. And then to come out the other side and have nothing to show for it or nothing that you thought you would. So I'm big on, how can we measure this? If we think about how we're going to measure it from the very beginning, then we know we're going to get success. I mean, you just don't want to see people out there floundering when they have these great businesses they've built.
Yeah. I know people in the construction industry and I've watched it happen. Where the investment was made in having that business and it takes one or two problems in the business that happen that then kind of take that business spiraling down. And I've watched a business owner literally just lose sight of everything because he was just in the trenches and he could no longer see big picture. And he's a smart visionary man.
Yeah.
But got sucked into that.
Mm-hmm. It happens to the best of them.
Yeah. This is super interesting, especially being in construction and agriculture as a woman and now helping other businesses out there. Very cool.
Yeah, no, it's fun, and it's fun, but it's just, you know, I just want to see him succeed. And especially other women, like, I mean, family businesses I love, but, you know, and maybe a sweet spot because of my mom, but, and just being a woman, but, you know, just, there's a lot of women owned businesses in these industries out there and they're kicking ass and they're taking names, but they face the same problems. So, I mean, they're really a blast to work with too. And those women are, you know, no different than us. You know, they want to be a woman. They don't want to give up being a woman, but they want to, you know, have a great business. And it happens to be in a world historically has been dominated by men.
And you hit on these other things that we won't dive into that today, but it's just something to think about as business owners. And I think I may have seen this on your website, creating a legacy business, right? So if you're a family owned business, you know, what is the legacy that's going to be left behind? Is that going to pass on to a family member? In your case, it's like you decided to leave. These are important things for business owners to think about, especially family owned businesses, because I've heard some really great speakers and consultants talk about what's the exit strategy. And sometimes the exit strategy of leaving your family owned business, right? Maybe the strategy is to pass it on to a family member. But what if the family member doesn't want it? And then what's the next step there? And then maybe the next step is selling it. And then there's a lot of tax implications in that, in how you actually sell your business. I mean, there's some huge tax implications that make it even challenging to sell. And then you talked about succession planning too. What is the succession plan of your business when you're getting out of it? Who's going to take it over and run it? Even if you don't own that business. So a lot of heady topics there that go hand in hand with not just a business, but a family owned business.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to that, and I think early on in our businesses, there's a transition I see people make. And if I go back to our personal example, when I told my mom I wasn't going to do it, and she had to kind of accept that as my final answer, then she made a transition from being the owner of the business to more of a steward of the business. Mm-hmm. And it was a transition that she needed to go through. And I think that's critical. I mean, I was just talking with another business the other day, and they're talking about this, but the business owners aren't really sharing financial information with the children that they're wanting to tell. You know, they're wanting them to say, are you going to buy it? Are you not going to buy it? But yet they're not really sharing all the information, and, you know, they're nervous. But it's about that. You kind of have to get a steward mentality and shift out of an owner mentality. And a lot of really great things can happen. Even if you're just going to you're still going to own it, but you're going to bring people up and you're going to build a stronger business and, you know, bring up leadership, being more of a steward, I think it actually opens the business up for more growth.
Interesting.
That's a good word.
Yeah. Because you got to be a steward if it's going to live on.
Yeah. And she's got to have a really good team to make everything else run in order for her to be a steward.
Yeah. I think that's where you open yourself up to being willing to have a team. Because I think especially as women business owners, we struggle with that, is to let other people do all the things. When you're small and you have to wear all the roles, like, we as women get pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And it kind of natural default to that. But as you grow, you just can't do it anymore. And we got to get comfortable with it.
Delegate. Oh, so many women that are like, I can do it all. I don't need you, or I can do it better.
Well, I think that is
I've never been there. No.
No way. Don't worry. I'll take care of that.
I mean, I think that's definitely an issue that women carry, more of that issue than men do. And because we're used to multitasking and juggling and saving the world, and a man will be like, who do I got that can do this?
Where's my peon?
Yeah, who's got this? And when you start to adopt that attitude, which I've definitely adopted that attitude, I'm like, who can I hand this one off to? Like, and sometimes I feel like a princess about it, but that's okay. I cannot rule the kingdom or queendom. Yeah. If I'm doing everything, it has stuff has to be handed off. And as a woman or as a man, you need to own that if you're going to grow and scale. End of story.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. But that's hard. As women, I think it's harder. And men they don't seem to have a problem. And I'm not the only one saying this. I mean, I've heard studies about it. You know, they don't have a problem taking credit, even if they didn't necessarily do the work, right? Mm-hmm. As women, we won't do that. We're unlikely to do that.
Yeah.
Interesting point. That's, and so true.
I'm just reflecting on that of like, yeah.
We all have some stories.
Yeah. That's a really interesting, like, cause I'm the first one to be like, oh no, Rachel did that.
Yeah.
That was all Rachel. Or
no, it really never was. No, but it's a really, really, really good point, Jeannie, that I think all of our listeners could take to heart and just consider, are you doing that? Because a lot of times as women, like just for example purpose, when a woman is direct and to the point, she's a lot of times labeled a bitch. Mm-hmm. And instead, a man is direct and to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, he's so confident.
Yeah. She's bitch.
He is so. What about that bitch over there, though?
Yes. No, you're right. And I think those are the obstacles that we come up across. I think, you know, I've had some mentors in my life or managers when I was working for other companies that I think, you know, were really good about supporting me and encouraging me that were men. Actually, I was just talking to one the other day and he was like, I wish you never would have left the industry. Like, just imagine where you'd be. But he's always been an advocate for women, but I've had the complete opposite too. Mm-hmm. Right. And even if I was, you know, doing tons of work below him, I'm just never getting credit.
Well, you know, we are getting to the end of this episode.
We're so in sync. I know. Was about to say the same thing.
I know. Did you notice when we said the exactly same thing when I left your house this morning? So we have a few questions and we didn't ask you this in the very beginning. So, and you did make a note that we do ask this pretty often. Would you consider yourself a woman your mother warned you about, Jeannie?
Yeah, but I didn't know any different. Like I said, I was raised that way and I was raised by, which the irony is I grew up in this house where women are just strong. And I grew up in a house where my dad encouraged me to be just as strong and on level with my brothers and everything else. So I didn't know any better. Ironically, I married into a Midwest farm family. So I may make them a little uncomfortable from time to time.
Nicely done.
I'm going to say my mother-in-law is probably a closet woman who they warned you about, though.
Right. So next question. This is a good question. How would you define the word sexy?
I think this goes back to the point that we talked about earlier. I think, especially coming from somebody who probably defines it as working in a man's world, I think being in those positions of leadership or, you know, those things that maybe we've called traditionally men's, but still being a woman, I think being confident and being confident in being a leader, being in those worlds, being in those roles, and still being feminine, I think that's sexy. So that combination of confidence, you know, without losing who we are, because being a woman's great. It's amazing. There's so many advantages and we should own it.
Love that.
You guys.
We're synced up today.
Are we menstruating together today?
I'm not menstruating currently, but we're on the same cycle. God. All right. So next question, Jeannie. Gina, compose yourself. Okay, here we go. Or mute yourself. So Jeannie, what is the best advice you've ever been given?
I've been given a lot of good advice. I've had a lot of good mentors. You know, and you know, one thing I'll say about the men's being in men's world, I've had some great men mentors too. So, which needs to be noted, like there's some obstacles and there's some people that don't support you. But when I look back, I've had some incredible mentors, but I always think about something my dad used to say, and he used to just say it kind of randomly. I don't know if he was position it as advice, but it's something I always remembered. And he would always, so he traveled a lot. And so he would be gone a lot of the summertime. And we would get to go with him sometimes, but not always. So, you know, my mom kind of held down the fort quite a bit. But he would always tell me, it's good to go, but it's great to come home, which I think relates to so many things in life. You know, it's, we should be, I think, especially as women, especially if you're raising kids and you have a career too, you shouldn't be afraid to go and travel and do things, but then you should also be really happy to come home to your family and enjoy them and have that freedom to have both. And it could be, you know, if you apply it to your career, it's great to go and have something and build something, but still have that anchor of your family and your home.
100%. I think, and I am one of those people, I do a lot of things. I travel and go around, but Roxy, my daughter, always knows that I come back. And that's been since she was very, very young. But I'm also modeling that for her, that it's okay to go do your thing and also be solid and dependable. So
yeah.
Last question, any advice you wish you had been given?
I don't know if it would have done any good, but I wish that maybe I would have been a little bit more intentional about where I wanted to end up when I was young. I think I assumed too much. I assumed that I was going to just buy my family's business. I assumed that I was always going to be in that industry. And instead of being a little bit more intentional about the possibilities that were out there. So maybe it's not about planning my path, but maybe being open to more possibilities younger. I think some of the opportunities I took in my life is because I was forced to, versus being willing to just go out and look for them and then build a path to them.
I love it. Love it. Stop it. What?
You ladies,
we're not always this synced up, Jeannie. In fact, I almost broke up with her once. So, you know,
yeah, you should go listen to that episode.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna be hunting it down now.
Yeah, it's the
everybody likes a good scandal every now and then. It's gonna be like reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was last summer, so I was like, yeah, go back and listen to that. We almost broke up, but we did not break up.
As synced as you are, I think you might all be lost.
I think we would be.
It's pretty much tied up at this point.
I think maybe because we saw each other for the first time today in like a gazillion years, even though we live like miles away from each other, so close. And like maybe that was our time together. Maybe we should have.
Now you're synced up.
Maybe we should be doing that coffee talk every morning.
If it's like the coffee talk we had this morning, I'm in all the time. Oh, let's go.
I wish we could.
It was, we can't even share at all any of it, but it was a good strategy.
It was a conversation we could only have in person and not even chance it on Zoom anywhere. So anyway, it has been awesome having you on the show.
Thank you.
And another reason why I love you is because you approached me and said, I want to be on your show.
And
that's a great testament to the power of the ask and how important it is to ask, especially if you're in sales. This is a reason why salespeople fail is because when they get to the ask part, they don't do it. So you do not get what you do not ask for. Jeannie asked to be on the show and here she is. So
I wanted to talk to you. I didn't want to just be your student.
She didn't want to just be my student or be my friend on LinkedIn. And now you get me and Rachel.
I know. It was a package deal. It's great.
Package deal.
So, Jeannie, where can people find out about Storybuilt Marketing and Coaching?
So, my website is storybuilt.marketing. So all the stuff is there. Lots of great resources. We even do some weekly tips, video tips, really quick things that you can actually apply to your business based on all the stories and experiences we get from our clients. And then, like I said, I love to hang out on LinkedIn. I love to connect with people there. So find me there. Just Jeannie Rinkop. You'll find me right there. And I'd love to connect with people.
She is there. She is engaged there. I've conversed with her there.
She has been stalked by me. It's fine.
I don't hang out there much, but I need to. And I need to
come over and hang out there. And it's okay. It's okay, Jeannie. Rachel stalked me too one time, long, long time ago, which is why we're together today. Is I had to get a restraining order, but it's all worked out.
Most people do.
It's all worked out good.
Thank you again for being on the show. And thank you, Warners, for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warns You About. For more information about the show, go on over to womenyourmotherwarnsyouabout.com. This show is now sponsored by Sales Gravy and Jeb Blunt. Super excited to be part of the Sales Gravy team, not just as an employee, but as a podcast. So for more information on that, you can find that on our website. And Rachel.
And if you enjoyed this show or have enjoyed any other of our shows, please hop on over to iTunes and leave us a review. It helps us spread the love to more people.
Awesome. All right, Warners, we're out of here. Bye.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof, monkey, monkey.